The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but faintly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel had justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou, backsliding Israel, that the Lord and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So just wanted to mention that. Wanted to kind of read that and see what the Lord had thought about what Israel and Judah was doing. And we've already known, like we discovered last week, what happened to Israel. So this is, the two ain't much different in God's eyes at this time. And y'all feel free to add to, speak up. Be glad to have that this morning. Next place I want to go to, Ezekiel. We're going to be doing a lot of jumping around, but hopefully we tried to get this in a fashion to where it kind of leads one into the other. But Ezekiel 23, and we're going to read 22 through 30. If I can find it. Therefore, Aholibah, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side. The Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekud and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, all of them desirable young men, captains and rulers, great lords and renowned, all of them riding upon horses. And they shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with an assembly of people which shall set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about. And I will set judgment before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgments. And I will set my jealousy against thee, and they shall deal furiously with thee. They shall take away thy nose and thine ears, and thy remnant shall fall by the sword. They shall fall. They shall take thy sons and thy daughters, and thy residue shall be devoured by the fire. They shall also strip thee out of thy clothes and take away thy fair jewels. Thus will I make thy lewdness to cease from thee and thy whoredom brought from the land of Egypt, so that thou shalt not lift up thine eyes unto them nor remember Egypt any more. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will deliver thee into the hand of them whom thou hatest, into the hand of them from whom thy mind is alienated. And they shall deal with thee hatefully, and shall take away all thy labor, and shall leave thee naked and bare, and the nakedness of thy whoredom shall be discovered, both thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. I will do these things unto thee because thou hast gone a-whoring after the heathen, and because thou art polluted with their idols. So this is Ezekiel saying what's to come. And this is saying that Babylon is going to come in. There's we'd read back in Kings, and it talked about there's different ones that the Lord had raised up because of what they were doing wrong. And now we just read there of some of the ones that were fighting with Israel or with Judah caught in between. You had Egypt coming up from the south. You had the Babylonians coming from the north. And they were trapped in the middle, and the Lord was raising these people up against them because of what they had done wrong. But any thoughts on this? And again, just trying to set up what the Lord has shown here from some of the prophets and who he was going to use to bring them down. And the Lord had told them, hey, this is what you've done wrong. And Hezekiah the king, it mentions him a couple of different times and places of that's where things seem to have really gone back to. But there were several kings there, like Brother Barry had passed out. I guess there was 19 of them there in Judah, 19 there over Israel, and the majority, more than the majority, were all evil kings. And none of them were really doing what they supposed to have been doing. But we may go to Isaiah, and we'll read what the prophet Isaiah has to say in 39. Amen.
Because after he gives you the bill of divorcement, in the next chapter of Jeremiah 4, it says he pleaded with them again.
Amen.
And he said, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of thy sight, then thou shalt not be removed.
Amen.
The last thing in the world God wanted to do is put them away.
Amen. Yeah.
But by their choice. And we have the same choices today.
Amen.
Lost and saved people alike. But I think it's the very, very last thing he wanted to have to do was put them in private way.
Amen. Amen. And even after they were transplanted in different areas, just because they weren't all together didn't mean that that household unit couldn't have still followed what the Lord wanted them to do personally. And I believe in some cases that probably happened. But for the most part, we know we don't see the 10 tribes come back together again because of that, the way that the Lord had separated them there. But they had a choice. They could have, if they would have all individually followed the Lord, I believe he could have pulled them right back together, don't you? I believe he sure could have. Amen.
And when we don't do that, we fail.
Amen.
We always
got to
give our room
for repentance. Amen. Appreciate this. Just Isaiah 39, we may read 1 through 8, pretty much 39th chapter there. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of this armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what saith these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then he said, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the kings of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. So this is Isaiah telling Hezekiah what's coming. And this is also, you could read this in, 2 Kings in the 19th chapter, pretty much says the exact same thing in that account as well. But Isaiah has told him what's to come. They've told them that Ezekiel, there the prophet, had told them Babylon's going to come, and it seemed like nobody's paying attention, does it? It seemed like, but when the Lord raised him up, I believe he raised up Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, to show them these things. Anything else? Any thoughts on any of that? Go to 2 Kings, and we'll try to stay there for a little bit. But again, this is kind of showing the Babylonians coming in and to take over Judah. So we'll go to 2 Kings 20 and 17. It says, "Behold, the days come that all that it is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store, unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord." So that was, again, the same thing we had read and heard over there in Isaiah. If you turn the page to 21, 12 through 14. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of Chronicles in the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried." We'll just stop there with that. But that's, again, saying what the Lord is about to do, what's coming in time here for Judah. We may hit one more place in 23 and 27. We'll read this verse. "And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said my name shall be there." So it says he will, indeed. Any thoughts? And I know that's been a lot of reading there. The prophecy of Jeremiah of the Babylonians coming, we may read that next, and then we'll get the king's account. So we're going to kind of bounce around with some of that here in just a little bit. But the main point is there's several books in here that you can read, several different places, several different prophecies to show, like Brother Jeff said, they were warned. They should have recognized who God was and how he was the deliverer for them, but yet they all went doing what was right in their own eyes, basically how it was worded there in Judges, I believe. And that's what they're still doing here today. Turn to Jeremiah, if we go back there again, not wear out your patience. Chapter 24, and we're going to read quite a bit here. Jeremiah 24. "The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil. They that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them, and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remaineth in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. I may read just a little bit into 25 here. It said, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And we may jump over in the 25th there, go to 8 through 14. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. See there, he refers to him as my servant. And will bring them against the land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And that sound of the millstones, I believe that to be the time of hunger. They won't be grinding any grain. There's going to be no food there at this time. And this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring up that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. So again, another prophecy from Jeremiah explaining what's going to happen here with Babylon, and then to say that Babylon's going to be overtaken after 70 years. Any thoughts on this before we move forward?
Man. The church. Well, if you look at this on the big picture, in his purging, he's done put away 10 of the tribes that wouldn't turn back.
Amen.
Then that leaves the two remaining tribes, and then he takes those, that remnant, and I think it was, best I remember, it was Zedekiah that was supposed to make a covenant with Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar come in and took them. And he broke the covenant, and Nebuchadnezzar took the strong, and he left Zedekiah. He left Zedekiah and a lot of Judea to go ahead, and they just had to pay tribute to Nebuchadnezzar, and he was going to leave them there. But he broke the covenant that was made between him and Nebuchadnezzar before God, and Nebuchadnezzar come in and just slaughtered them. Yeah. So the remnant that was actually left was those that was taken under bondage and then got to come out of captivity.
Amen.
So when you really look at it on a big scale, you can see how God was purging them down to the purest of them.
Amen.
And I think it's the same way with the church. We think because we're saved and we're baptized in the body of Christ that we're going to be in the church. I tell you what, the church, being a part of the bride is I think it's very special. I think
Amen.
We've got to pick up our cross and follow the Lord. And,
Amen.
He's going to purge.
Amen.
He's going to purge. I know the cardinal mind is going to be put away when we leave this world, but If not, there'll be a lot of people surprised who will be in.
Lord help. Lord help. Amen.
But I think this is a beautiful picture of how he purged Israel and down to just a real small remnant.
Amen.
So like the potter's wheel is talked about a whole lot.
Amen.
We need to stay on that wheel.
Amen.
We need to stay on the wheel.
I appreciate that, and 'cause what's being told here is the prophecy, Babylon is supposed to have rule over them. That's what God wanted them to do. And like you said, Nebuchadnezzar is kind of sitting back, and they appoint somebody to be a leader over it with their thumb, with the Babylonian's thumb over them, but say, hey, y'all still do your thing, but as long as you do what I tell you to do. So they were there, could have been left there, but then Zedekiah rises up against them, which was wrong because that ain't what God told them to do. They were supposed to have been submissive to Babylon at this time. And that's kind of hard for us to swallow, but that's what was supposed to happen there.
Nebuchadnezzar didn't destroy the temple on the first invasion.
Amen.
He just took the strong and things, and he left Zedekiah and the weak. But and then God's judgment on Nebuchadnezzar was because when Zedekiah broke the covenant, Nebuchadnezzar went in a rage and he burnt the house of the Lord.
Amen.
In the second invasion. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar stood in judgment with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I believe that to be true. We may get around to that here in just a minute. Let's read while we're in Jeremiah 27, 6 through 15. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field that I have given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish. So again, just like what Brother Barry was saying, they were supposed to have been submissive here. They were supposed to have put their neck to the yoke, as it says here, and that's what God wanted them to do. Because he said, I'll punish them if they don't, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from the land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophet that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, for I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets, that prophecy unto you. So don't listen to anybody that says any different what the Lord's saying here. And you know somebody come up in just a very prideful way and saying, we shouldn't be submissive to these Gentiles, you know, these people that ain't Jews. Why are we doing it? Well, the Lord told them to. This is their punishment. They got to deal with it. They made their bed, they got to lay in it. It's almost like a perfect setup, Brother Barry. That was what you said there a minute ago, fell right into this. Appreciate this. Anything else? I know we're probably scattered this morning, covering a lot of ground. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 24. And we'll try to not wear your pages out today, or from this point on anyway. This kind of tells us this is when Babylon comes in and takes over, and kind of what Brother Barry was saying, it'll set up Zedekiah being the king here in just a minute, but we'll read over a couple of others here that's probably on the list that Brother Barry gave y'all a little bit, but we'll be reading through most of the 25th chapter here in a minute. We'll start with the 24th. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. So what this is saying, like Brother Barry had said, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up and the king of Judah became his servant. This is 3 years. So they brought enough force to say, hey, we're fixing to wipe you out, but if you'll just do what we tell you, you'll be okay. And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldees and bands of the Syrians. This was after he had rebelled. And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldees and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon and sent them against Judah. So you can see that Babylon had such a reach over all these regions. They've got all these other folks, all these other areas that are fighting for them, right? So that's the Chaldees, and that's the Syrians, and that's the Moabites. All of these different groups was doing what the Babylonians had told them to do. And it said they're against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. And the king of Egypt came not again any more out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt, way down south, unto the river Euphrates, up in the northeast of Jerusalem, that pertained to the king of Egypt. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. So they've completely compassed them at this point. They've got them surrounded, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to king Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord. And this was that prophecy that we had read a little bit ago. It said he carried out all the thence of all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. So the only ones that they left was the poorest of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, and 1,000, and all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Now that, I believe this to be written in past tense. So his name was Zedekiah, and this, I'll be honest, Barry, I'm hoping maybe one of you brothers can tell me this. That's the only place I found where they changed his name. I found another Zedekiah, or the Zedekiah, I believe that they're referring to in 1 Chronicles. So just turn a few pages over, 1 Chronicles 3 and 15 and 16. We'll see this name listed. And it says, and the sons of Josiah were the firstborn of Johanan, The second, Jehoiakim. The third, Zedekiah. The fourth, Shalom. But you'll notice there in the 16th, it talks about Jehoiakim and Jeconiah, his son, and Zedekiah, his son. So we've got two different Zedekiahs there listed. But I believe the one that they're referring to here in 2 Kings is Josiah's third oldest son here. But we just got to know at this point that this one individual named originally Mattaniah, but King of Babylon Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Zedekiah and he appointed him. So that's the big take out of this. And it says there in the 18th, Zedekiah was 20 and 1 year old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So this is what Brother Barry was talking about earlier. When Zedekiah rebelled against them, that was the wrong thing to do. That wasn't what he was supposed to have done. They were supposed to have been under this yoke of Babylon. They were supposed to have stayed there and done that. But this king didn't do it. I'm sure out of pure pride and arrogance. We'll read on in the 25th here. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, and the famine prevailed in the city. There's that famine we talked about when they talked about you wouldn't hear the millstones. And there was no bread for the people of the land, and the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain, and the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. They've killed him right in front of him. And then they put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard brake down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away. And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold in gold and of silver in silver, and captain of the guard took away the two pillars, one sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. That was those bulls that they had overlaid in gold, and that big cauldron, if you will, that sat on their back that we read about. That's what they're taking away at this time. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapter was... it was brass, and the height of the chapiter 3 cubits, and the wreath and work, and the pomegranates upon the chapiter around, and all the brass, and like those, like these had the second pillar with wreath and work. But all of that's explaining all the things that we had read when Solomon was building that temple, and all the things that he had built so nice and overlaid with gold. But all of this is gone, people. All of these material things are gone, ain't they? Comes right down to it. You've lost your relationship with the Lord and not doing what he wants you to do, and these material things are going to go anyway. just finish a few more verses here. In the 19th, and out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, five men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim, the son of Shaphan, ruler. So the point is there to be made that there were some left. Not everyone was taken out of Judah, but they got rid of all the, what you'd say, the military personnel, the government people, all of that type stuff, and they just left some people there just to, worded them as vine dressers, and basically they were just going to work them. Yeah. But any thoughts on any of this? I know that was a lot of reading and a lot of bouncing around, but wanted to try to understand how this was prophesied and that Babylon did come and overtake them. A lot to be down in the mouth about when you read it this far, but when you read over in Chronicles ending, it ends a little bit differently. It immediately goes right past Babylon and into the Persian rule. But we also know by the prophecy that Babylon wasn't going to stand but for 70 years over them, and then God was going to deliver them again. And he used a Gentile such as this Persian man that they listed by name over in Isaiah and Daniel, both referred to it. But this man, not a Jew man at all, but the Lord raised him up to deliver them out of Media Persia. But we may get into that next week. Any thoughts on any of that this morning? If not, just consider yourself dismissed.